Jesus, my shepherd and only provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in his house forever until the end of time. Jesus, my shepherd and only provider, you make me lie down in beside the still water, you restore my soul.
Hallelujah, glory to God. You are welcome. Yes, you are. I believe that you've had a beautiful start of a beautiful day. And as we get close to the very end of the week, it's going to get better and better and better. I believe you agree with that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So today we will patiently settle certain realities in our minds, all right? Settle certain realities in our hearts, realities from God's word, because it's one thing to say, oh, I'm familiar with the verse, okay? But let it sip in a bit, all right? Let it sip in, let it sink in, let it sip in, let it sink in. So remember the Hebrews 4 we read yesterday, I trust was quite enlightening. So we're going to go there again right now and just peek. Okay, what exactly is the Bible saying? And maybe for some of you, it could be like, oh, dear Lord, that was quite interesting. All right, so we'll pick it from 3. Okay, 3. So we're on towards like the very, very, very end of 3. Okay, 3. I'm using the NKJV. So from the 16th verse of 3. For who haven't heard rebel. So he's asking, okay, so 15th. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Remember that? We're talking about the people. So three categories. Number one, there were those with Moses in the wilderness. Okay. Then there were those, okay, that Joshua also led into the promised land. And then there were those in the time of the psalmist, all right, who had to be told, hey, still again, don't harden your heart. And now we have the Hebrews again being talked to. So 15 says, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Don't harden your heart, right? Don't make it difficult. Go with the flow of God. God says, rest, rest. God says, hold on, hold on. All right. He says it. Don't harden your heart. How did they harden your heart in the Old Testament? They grumbled. They murmured. They complained. Something always was going to go wrong. There was something to talk about. They rebelled. They didn't trust God. They didn't just rely on his leading and his guidance. All right. So remember our Psalm 23. Okay. So we skipped that in the beginning, but super, so important. He is our shepherd. And Domwen has been doing a very classic job for us on that every single day. I mean, Psalm 23 by Domwen, good song. He is our shepherd. We will not lack. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still water. The still water. The still water. I would read that, you know, before we close up today. So, so beautiful. So who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? First category, all right? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, or they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So God makes a promise. They don't get the fullness of the promise. God makes a promise. They couldn't see through to the end because of unbelief, because they just didn't believe. And you say, how? They always said something against it. We're learning these things for our sake, and that's what Hebrews 4 begins to deal with. Hebrews 4 from verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Did you get that? The gospel, the word that was preached, okay, was preached to us as well as to them, but it didn't, you know, profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. I've ever had someone sit in a church and then the preacher goes, you know, blah, blah, blah. All right. And if you apply God's word this way, it's going to happen. Say, yeah, someone applied it that way. It didn't work. That's you not mixing it with faith. That's you bringing someone's experience or maybe yours. All right. And placing it side by side God's word. Bible makes it clear in the book of Romans, let God alone be true and every man a lie. So you look at God's word. You say, well, this is God's word. Irrespective of all experiences that I know so far, not lining up with it, I will rest. Where? On the word of God. I will trust. I would not approach the word with unbelief. I would rely on God's word. Now, verse 3 is interesting. It says in New King James, all right, NKJV, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I would like us to see this in maybe two or three other translations. Now we'll do the NLT, all right? Watch this. It says, for only we who believe can enter his rest. Did you get that now? Using NLT. Only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. They would never enter my rest, even though this rest had been ready since the world began. So God swears and says, hey, you guys will never enter my rest, even though the rest had been ready since the world began. So there's a rest in God. There's a rest in God. Before the world began, this rest is available. It takes faith to access it. It takes faith to activate it. All right, we'll use a RSV, all right? ERV. Okay, only we who believe it are able to enter God's place of rest. Only we who believe are able to enter God's place of rest. As God said, I was angry and made a promise, they will never enter my place of rest. All right, and it quotes, like I said yesterday, this is from Psalm 95. And 11, it now says, but God's work was finished from the time he made the world. Sorted, sealed. God worked and on the 7 day he rested. So God wants man. Now, God worked, okay? 6 days he created everything, including mankind. And then the 7 day he rested. So man's first full day on this earth was a day of rest. God's day of rest. Did you get that? God worked, stepped into rest. Man's first full day was God's day of rest. God entered into his rest. God ceased from his work. God was done. Adam wasn't brought in to recreate in that context of, okay, so Adam, let's speak some more stars. And no, Adam was to tend, to till, to just guard, basically watch over. So the till is not till, is watch over this whole garden. Keep it, guard it, and then fill the earth, subdue, run things. So it's basically a charge of dominion. I have created it all. I put my man in place and I tell him, hey, this place is set. You just run it. This place is ready. Run it. Of course, you know how the fall made a mess on all of that. So God promised there is a rest. I created that rest from the beginning. I'm getting my people back into that rest. So Passion Translation says, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. I'll take that again. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. For he had said, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath. They will never enter into the calming rest of my spirit. God's work have all been completed from the foundation. Well, I like this. They would never enter into the calming rest of my spirit. God has a plan, a beautiful plan of rest for all his people, a beautiful plan of rest for every one of us. And God is saying that rest is still super much available. Okay, let's just run through back to the NKJV, New King James, right? And then just do our best to push down this fourth chapter. So verse 4, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his work. Again, in this place, all right? They shall not enter my rest. Contrast. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, that's the Psalms, right? Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua, and I told you, if you read, right, King James, you find the word Jesus there. It says, for if Joshua had given them rest. So number one category, like you saw from Hebrews chapter 3, the people that Moses led out. Now he's talking about the people that Joshua led. Okay. If Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. 10 says, for he who has entered his rest has ceased also, all right, from his works as God did his. The work works there, all right, toil and efforts and labor. So this is talking about a season of grace. And in Christ Jesus, don't forget, John chapter 1 lets us know that the law was given by Moses, grace and truth rather, came by Jesus Christ, all right? Grace and truth. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came. So there is grace. Grace is ease. Grace is stresslessness. Grace is supernatural ability that is made available. You've got to get this. Grace is ease. Grace is stressless. Grace is a flow. Hallelujah. All right. So you and I have got to be blessed by the fact that God is saying, hey, I've got something for you. All right. I've got something great for you. Something beautiful. It's my grace. It's my loving grace. It's my beautiful grace. Okay. Glory to God. Ease. God is bringing us to a dispensation of ease, and he has, all right, in Christ Jesus. He has in Christ Jesus. He has in Christ Jesus. He brings us to a season of ease. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Now, still picking at Hebrews, I just want us to understand this place of grace and relaxation and ease and rest. Hebrews 4:10 again, for he that has entered into rest has ceased also from his works as God did from his. All right. So it's like you come back from work and then you just slouch. All right. On the couch. And then some folks are helping you to get other things done. What are you doing? You're resting. Work is going on. You're resting. You've ceased from your labor. So 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the dividing asunder of the soul, spirit, the joint, and the marrows. All right? As a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So you and I enter rest by going to trust God. We enter rest. Learn here, please. They entered the rest. They didn't enter because of unbelief. They didn't enter because of disobedience. We could add one more word, all right? And I'll explain that quickly from scripture. They didn't enter because of pride. I'll take it again. They didn't enter God's rest because of disobedience. They did not enter because of unbelief. I added a third one. They didn't enter. Why? Because of pride. Why am I saying that? If you go to James, all right, and the fourth chapter of the book of James, Bible lets us know in the sixth verse, all right, James chapter 4, verse 6, he says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Because you have to understand the strong word that God used. He said, I swore that these guys will not enter my rest. I swore these ones will not enter my rest. Why will God use a strong language as such? Bible said because of their unbelief. Bible said because of their unbelief. If you've ever had to read through some portions of, you know, Moses' experience with them in Exodus, you will see the frustrations in Exodus, in Numbers. The frustrations, the rebellions, the complaints, the murmurings. Do you remember the story of the golden calf? You remember the different things that have had to happen? Oh, we remember how we ate cucumber in Egypt. Oh, take us back. You want to kill us here? They said it so much. God said, as you've spoken in my ears, so will I do. You guys would end up dying in this place. They pushed. They were not humble enough. All right. And one understanding of humility we have is accept God's word for what it is. Accept God's word. So if God says, hold on, don't run around. If God says, wait, don't run around. God reveals something to your spirit. He says, peace. I mean, I've had cases where people say, you know, I felt peace. I felt peace. And then the next minute, the person is trying to make the whole thing work because your mind is wired already to solving things. You've got to train yourself, child of God. He gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. Bible didn't say here that men resist the proud. It says God resists the proud. You know what it means to resist, all right? To push back, to create a blockage or a hindrance to. So God resists, like you're not going through a door and someone says, no, you're not. A person stands there resisting you and pushing you back. God resists the proud. He gives grace. What's grace again? Ease. God's supernatural ability is made available to who? The humble. Who is the humble? The one who believes. Not the one in unbelief. The one who says, Lord, if that's what you're saying, it's okay. I believe. Lord, if that's what you're saying, it's okay. I believe. Sometimes such people might be termed stupid. But they, Bible says, God gives grace to the humble. Do you understand this, please? All right. In Philippians, the fourth chapter of Philippians, Paul, we've made reference to, but like I said, it's important we settle these things in our hearts. Please let us settle these things in our hearts. Philippians, in the fourth chapter, the sixth verse, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be anxious for nothing. Would there be opportunities to be anxious? Very many. But be anxious for nothing. But in everything. By prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. It means pray about it. I mean, people have had to use that on social media. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. It sounds nice. And it is scripture. And that's here. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. So don't worry about anything. Okay? Pray about everything. Do you understand that? Don't worry about anything, all right, but pray about everything. And that exactly is what you'll find in the NLT. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It's scripture. It's this verse. So it's not just a social media slang, okay? So just talk on social media. Don't worry about anything. Someone needs to hear that again. Don't worry about anything. Message Translation says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. I'll take that again. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Remember what Jesus said? He said, nobody can by worry add one cubit to a lifespan. Oh, this hasn't happened. Oh, that hasn't happened. Oh, this hasn't happened. Oh, that hasn't happened. Oh, I don't have this. And I don't have that. I thought by now. That worry will not produce the wisdom of God. That worry will not release for you the counsel of God. So don't worry about it. Please pray about it. Don't fret. Things will come to get you into panic mode. Say, no, I refuse to fear. If you have to turn your face to the wall, if you have to walk away from the people around you who just brought you the news, just excuse yourself for a minute. If you have to go into the restroom and just say, Lord, I refuse to fear. Even with tears streaming from your face, I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to fear. I thank you, Father, because you've got this. You've got this. If anything catches me unawares, it never caught you unawares. You've got this. I will be still. I will be calm. I will see you at work. I will be still. I will be calm. I will see you at work. All right. Because Bible says, be still. All right. I know that I am God. Relax. Be still. Because it's in quietness you hear better. It's in quietness you see better. It's in quietness you pick the wisdom and the will of God rising up in your heart. No wonder verse 7 here of Philippians 4 says, and the peace of God, which passes or surpasses, like the New King James says, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God. And please note its conjunction. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God. Meaning when you do this, you will get that. It's a conjunction. I know we could say, we pray for peace. We could lay hands on people and say, receive peace. There are certain dimensions of that. Paul writes his letters and says, grace and peace unto you. So yes, there is a place for that. But steady, consistent application of peace is in the word of God. God might have you minister peace. But Jesus said, oh, if you walk into a house, right, talking to disciples when he sent them out to me to evangelize, all right, he said, speak your peace there. So we could say, peace be unto you. You release the blessing of peace. But the people will enjoy the peace and activate, all right, a consistent flow of the peace operation by walking in faith. You've got to get this. The peace of God that passes all understanding. You don't get why you're calm. But there's that center holding you from within. There's the will of God holding you from within, holding you. So child of God, please read these verses, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You can read it into 8. And 8 tells us, finally, brethren, what things ever true, and things ever noble, things ever just, things ever pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whether they be of good report, if there be any praise, virtue, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meaning, keep your mind on the right thing. Oh, but it's true that this went wrong. It's not praiseworthy. It's not good report. Meditate on the good report. See things turn around. See things work together for your good. See things work in your favor. That's the will of God. And it will take the peace of God to help you do that. How do you walk in the peace of God? Be anxious for nothing. Do you get this? Be anxious for nothing by making up your mind not to fret. Even when you feel like, even after you've caught yourself fretting, don't say, well, I've started fretting, let me keep at it. Put an end to it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fret. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to fret. All right? In the name of Jesus, I will not fret. I will not be afraid. I will not be perturbed. I feel it, but no. Bible says God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Do you understand that? Peter gives us a very brief revelation that builds up on this thought. Okay? In 1 Peter 5 and 7, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Beautiful. Casting all your care. Don't forget, NLT in Philippians 4 says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. All right? Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray. Oh, they've come late. Oh, business is going to spoil. Oh, this wrong move they made now could affect it. Oh, this wrong thing I put in my application could affect my day. You've worried about it. Worry won't solve it. Worry will not release the angels. Worry will not make the evil thing work together for your good. No, worry will not solve it. It is your faith that would activate the power of God. Yes, it was going to go wrong, but God has angels ready, steady, who will turn it around, and they will for you in the name of Jesus. So now, in 1 Peter 5 and 7, we're told, cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Child of God, your Father is waiting and saying, don't carry the load. Trade on me. The word cast is not to give. The word cast means to fling. Do you understand that? Is there something around you you could toy with? Something, can you find one? Can you fling it? All right? Maybe it's your car key and then you could fling it on the couch. Please don't throw it on a hard surface. All right? So nothing, maybe your remote or something doesn't get spoiled. You just want to fling. Just fling something. Fling it. Do you understand that? That's the picture. Fling it. Cast your care. not hand it over to him. Throw it, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. NLT says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Yes, I just said, you know, it's giving, not giving, casting. But I would like to maintain it's to cast, to throw, to fling, to give, using the King James. All right? And I'm cooking up the Amplified. You're going to love the Amplified. So it says, give, all right, all your worries and cares to God. Why? He cares about you. He cares about you. Passion Translation, the Passion Translation, that's TPT, says, pour out all your worries and stress on him. Oh, beautiful. And leave them there. Okay, so beautiful is not in the verse, all right? I added that. Pour out all your worries and cares on him and leave them there. For he always tenderly cares for you. This is so rich. I remember very many years ago, Ken Hagin teaching about casting your cares. He would say, you know, cast your cares and keep it cast. Because, you know, you cast your care and then the thought will come back. The thought will come back. But he said, no, in the name of Jesus, I have cast my cares. I will not take them up. I will not pick them up with a thought. No, I have cast my cares. So the Passion Translation again I read says, pour out all your worries and stress on him. Leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you. So in the name of Jesus, Father, this care over this career mistake I made, over this pressure, over this delay on my promotion, I've talked to A, to B, to C. There seems to be something going on wrong. Lord, I've talked, I've sent emails, I've done all I want to do, but now I cast it all on you. And then you make reference to his word. You said in your word, promotion doesn't come from not the south, the east, the west, but it comes from you. I cast my care on you. I know the thought, you know the thought you think towards me, of peace and not of evil, to give me an expected end. So Father, it's all on you. I maintain my grounds. I will do my job as a diligent staff. And I thank you because the rest is taken care of. And watch God work. Watch God work. You open up to the leading of spirit, and I'm glad we teach a lot of that, all right? So you might not have to be still to know. He could say, talk to this other boss, you don't like his face. I don't like him. That's why I want you to talk to him. I remember the case of someone, right? He had an issue with his, you know, academics. Things weren't going on well, all right? Results came out. I mean, he did well, but some like grades were missing and all. And then he needed to solve it. He found that, I think, a man sitting somewhere around his house was a lecturer like on sabbatical. And the Holy Ghost said to him, go talk to that person. Go talk to him. There's a lecturer in his bathroom who doesn't like his face. But God said, talk to this man. Do you know the man picked up this young man's case? Now, you know, and fought for him, making everything work for him. All right? Even to the point of helping him write out his scores. They've never met. He doesn't know him. But this is the Holy Ghost. You know, you could be so worked up. You make too many phone calls. Oh, this person. And then you get to know that person. And then he's still. Don't forget. In a place of quietness, we hear better. In a place of quietness, we see better. Cast your cares upon him. Because he cares for you. So I'll read the Amplified as we close right now. Okay. So Amplified version. So, so beautiful. Amplified classic. Okay. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and he cares about you watchfully. Someone needs to write that somewhere, right? Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and he cares about you watchfully. Bible says, do this once and for all, child of God. Once and for all. Once and for all. This is you and I making up our minds. We're going to do this. It takes faith to do it, but we will do it. It takes faith to say, in the name of Jesus, I cast my cares. I'll not pick it up with a thought. I will stand on the word. I will stay on the word. I declare that my cares are cast and I keep them there. I stand on the word. I stay on the word. I declare that my cares are cast and I keep them there. Do this by faith right now.
Yes, go ahead. Do this by faith. Do this by faith. God is with you. He cares for you. He's over that situation, watching your back. God has got you. Cast that care now by faith. Stand your ground. And I'll see you tomorrow as we wrap this up. And I trust in a very, very, very beautiful way. Have a beautiful rest of your day. And see you tomorrow.
My shepherd and